In Myanmar, or Burma as it's also known, most people are Buddhist, but there is a Muslim minority group in the country. They're called the Rohingya, and they've faced persecution for years. That persecution has now escalated to what the United Nations calls ethnic cleansing. In recent months, more than 60,000 Rohingya have fled into neighboring Bangladesh, and many who've escaped say Burmese soldiers have been going village to village and raping women. From the Bangladeshi side of the border, the world's Patrick Nguyen has our story.
From the river that separates Myanmar and Bangladesh, it takes a day on foot to reach a refugee camp called Kutu Palong. The camp is a sprawling, miserable place, a labyrinth of huts built from dried mud and scraps. We're now entering a part of the camp where some of the new arrivals are trying to set up really primitive makeshift shelters made out of sticks, plastic sheeting, whatever they can get their hands on. And it's just absolutely teeming with people. For weeks, horror stories have swirled around this camp. Female refugees say that back in Myanmar, soldiers are dragging Muslim women from their homes and raping them. I'm here with a female colleague to meet one of these women. I'll call her Fatima. A few female Rohingya elders have prepared a small hut, a private place where we can talk under their supervision. They tell us Fatima is ready to tell her story. But when I enter the hut, I'm startled. Fatima is not a woman. She's a 13-year-old girl. Fatima is sitting cross-legged on a mat. Even for her age, she's quite small, wearing a floral print dress and a veil the color of bubble gum. She pulls it back so I can see her eyes, and she starts to talk. It was dark on December 25th. Soldiers stormed into her village, she says, and started burning thatch roof homes. Arson is a well-documented army tactic, and Rohingya from other villages have recorded videos that show the aftermath. As Fatima's village burned, soldiers started corralling the women away from the men. Seeing this, Fatima ran and hid inside her small bamboo home. But then three soldiers charged in, trailed by her frantic mother. Fatima says they stripped off her clothes, searching her for gold or mobile phones. And when they found nothing, she says, the soldiers raped her, repeatedly, in front of her mother. The assault left Fatima with severe internal injuries. She blacked out, and when she awoke, most of the villagers were just gone, including her parents. She hasn't seen them since. 2 days later, some villagers found Fatima. She was feverish, but she managed to join them as they fled to the border. In early January, after 4 grueling days, they finally slipped into Bangladesh. Fatima was brought to a Doctors Without Borders clinic, where medics stopped her bleeding. She is now recovering in the camp. There are scores and scores of women and girls with stories like this. Human Rights Watch, Amnesty International, the UN, they've all recorded similar testimonies of sexual assault.
This is a way to demonstrate power over the population.
That's Matthew Smith, founder of Fortify Rights, one of the most active watchdog groups documenting crimes against the Rohingya.
This is a way to demonstrate who's in charge, and it's a way to instill terror and fear in the local population. And it's not unreasonable to regard these cases of rape as a weapon.
UN officials have called it an ethnic cleansing campaign. The army will say that most Rohingya are Muslim invaders who don't belong in Buddhist Myanmar. They now insist these Rohingya villages are infested with, quote, extremists. And it is true that a small resistance group formed late last year. Here they are on YouTube calling for an uprising. But so far, they appear to be armed with only a few guns and mostly farm tools. It's just a few hundred guys. The army has retaliated with collective punishment against all 1 million Rohingya Muslims. All this is happening under the leadership of Aung San Suu Kyi, a Nobel laureate long backed by the United States.
It is an extraordinary pleasure for me to welcome State Counselor Aung San Suu Kyi and her delegation.
In fact, just before the army purge began in October, President Obama brought her to the White House to celebrate progress in Myanmar. But Aung San Suu Kyi denies the atrocities. In December, as the attacks raged, she told state media in Singapore that foreigners keep exaggerating the crisis.
I would appreciate it so much if the international community would help us to maintain peace and stability and to make progress in building better relations between the two communities instead of always drumming up calls for, well, for bigger fires of resentment, if you like.
It is safe to say she is a part of the problem.
Again, Matthew Smith from Fortify writes,
we've seen a shameful propaganda campaign on social media engineered by offices that Aung San Suu Kyi controls, denying allegations of rape, denying allegations of killings.
Now, I can't corroborate every detail of Fatima's story. I'd have to go to her village, and that's impossible. The conflict zone is totally sealed off. Other Nobel Peace Prize winners are pleading with Aung San Suu Kyi to open up the area. One of them is Malala Yousafzai, a teenage girl, just like Fatima. She and other Nobel laureates warn that this crisis has all the hallmarks of past tragedies in Bosnia or Darfur or Rwanda. Back at the refugee camp, I ask Fatima what she makes of all this. She says she's angry. The soldiers have no right to touch us, torture us, rape us, she says. I'll always be angry.
When you go to sleep at night, what do you think about before you fall asleep?
She says she thinks about her parents, who may be alive or may be dead. She doesn't know. And even though she might be killed if she returns, she dreams about going home. For The World, Patrick Nguyen, Kutupalong, Bangladesh.
You're with The World.